Welcome back to the Hockey House Podcast, episode 137, presented by our friends at Optimex Sports. I'm your host, Mackenzie Murphy, as we bring you the latest news from around the ACHA and AAU college hockey offseason. Herm, we thought this was going to be a quiet week until we got a DM from a good friend of the show, giving us kind of a heads up that our Thursday morning was going to be pretty crazy. And I'll get to a story in a little bit here about why I wasn't on top of my game here when the news broke this morning. Gives us a chance to hop on here for episode 137 and give not some feedback, but some analysis of some kind of earth-shattering news in the club hockey scene. But before we get to that, what are things looking like in Utica this time of year?
We're headed to summer hours. We move from 9 to 5 to 9 to 3, and that's a big, big deal for us right now. So very excited to take things slow and easy. We've got tomorrow off. We've got Monday off. And then we kind of go into the summer responsibilities.
I had an eventful week this week. Last Friday was my final day at my old job at House 17, my final day working remote for the company out of Boston, taking these 2 weeks off to kind of reset the brain, clear headspace before I start my new job on June 3rd. I got a trip to Seattle to go visit friend of the pod, Matthew Zarb, next week. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So just, I was telling people, I'm just going to sleep as much as possible. But today was the first day that I didn't even set an alarm, and I was looking forward to sleeping in. But in a crazy turn of events yesterday, I was walking my two Bernese Mountain Dogs, and they are big boys, and they're strong. We got to, you know, strap them into the harnesses when we take them on a walk. And I'm walking them on Wednesday morning. We pass an elderly woman on the other side of the street, and she's walking like a tiny black lab. And my dogs don't realize, you know, there's a dog on the other side of the street until maybe, you know, 30 feet away. And then they just start barking and they're going crazy. So I just kind of like stop walking. I'm just going to let them bark in hopes that the elderly woman on the other side of the street just keeps walking. The bigger one just bolts. And I'm like, I'm not letting this dog get across the street and run after this dog. So I get a hard grip. Dog pulls me off the sidewalk, and I have my welcome to post athletics moment, right? Like, hey, you're not stretching as much as you once were. You're not doing physical activity as much as you once were. I have rolled my ankle a million times playing sports before, and I have never rolled my ankle as hard as I did on this sidewalk. And it hurt so, so bad. It took me out of commission all day yesterday. Fortunately enough, I coach high school lacrosse, so I actually had our trainer look at it after practice yesterday, and he told me, hey, if the swelling doesn't go down, you got to go to the walk-in tomorrow morning. And so I had the mindset, hey, I'm just going to sleep in on Thursday morning. I'm not going to set an alarm. Completely forgetting that we had been tipped off that this breaking news was going to drop on Thursday morning. So I wake up to a million notifications on the phone because, Herm, we had some shattering news here. The ACHA announces the support of exploration by the ACCHL to form a new men's Division One conference. Kind of a lot to break down, so we'll piece it together using the press release from the ACHA. But the ACCHL, a well-known conference in ACHA M2, they've expanded into AAU, they have ACHA M3 teams, nearly teams at every level except ACHA M1. Thursday morning, the ACHA announced its support of the Atlantic Coast Collegiate Hockey League to explore the formation of a conference within ACHA Men's Division One, with the intention of beginning play in 2025-2026. So they have four teams listed as teams that will join this conference if it begins play in 2025. Those teams are the University of Alabama, coming from Men's Division One, previously independent; University of Louisville, Men's Division Two, coming out of the TSCHL, one of the better conferences in M2. And then you have North Carolina State University, Men's D2, ACCHL, and then the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Men's Division II, ACCHL. Those will be the first four teams in this conference. And they have some interesting criteria to join this conference, which I think is honestly more of the headline here. I think it's less about the teams in this conference and more about what this conference is looking for. The criteria for teams to join this conference is going to be they must be a member of a Power 5 conference with historical and current athletic success, making them an NCAA athletic brand name. So this conference is looking for the big time schools that people recognize off the top of their head. They must be a top team at their university. So if their university has an NCAA team on campus, they don't want them. They must be a well-organized and fully developed ACHA program, and they must enjoy widespread fan support. So Herm, want to know what your first thoughts are. I think we had some inside information about this a couple months back, and we kind of knew that this project was in the works. I think especially NC State and UNC have been pushing to make the jump to M1 since the success of Frozen Finley. But really cool seeing this come to fruition.
It shows what happens when you invest in your program both on and off the ice. I think that's one of the things that jumped off the page at me, is that these are teams that have become brands, at least in the club hockey community, because of their consistent quality everywhere that they function.
I mentioned Frozen Finley because I think a lot of it goes back to that event, and that event doesn't happen without the success of the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that is a big part piece of this. The Hurricane success has made North Carolina a hockey state, and then in return, you have two universities with huge fan support in UNC and NC State. So having the local professional team in the Hurricanes have success in the last couple of years. I know they did not have the same success in this year's playoffs. And that is a place that loves hockey. It's a place where the fans stand the entire game. Like, it's a football game. They're rowdy. They go nuts. When you tell those same people, hey, your local universities also have hockey teams and they compete, you know, in probably one of the tougher conferences in non-NCAA college hockey. And so now, seeing those two teams make the jump, if this conference does play in 2025, I do not think it'll be with four teams. I'm guessing we'll see more teams come along into the conference over the next year before 2025 comes knocking on the door. But it is going to be a very exciting day when that happens.
You know that domino meme where it starts off at one tiny little insignificant event and it's something insane happening later? We're going to have to post it. Like, the Hartford Whalers leaving the NHL.
I was thinking, I knew you were going to say that.
NC State going ACHA M1.
It's even crazier because, like, how far down the road are we when those teams go NCAA? Do we save that meme for when that happens? But maybe we'll have to hit send on that tonight once we get done recording. But it is crazy. And you look at the other two teams joining the conference. You have Alabama. You want to talk about events that put Alabama on the map. I think you have to go back to that original Harambe night video when they busted out the gorilla jerseys. I think that is what put Alabama ACHA hockey on the map. They've been independent for a while. They haven't really had any teams near them to play. And this is certainly going to help. Not that NC State and UNC are very close, but that brand recognition, the thought of conference matchups against top brands, I think is going to be really intriguing for this conference. So I kind of wanted to break it down. The fourth team joining this is Louisville too, which I think when you talk about rivalries, I think it's important that you get to play your rival. And I think maybe we thought Kentucky might've been a part of this conversation and maybe that's something that's going to happen down the road. But it was interesting to see Louisville join without Kentucky because it seems like those two programs kind of go hand in hand with each other. And it's hard to imagine those two teams playing a rivalry game every year and being in separate divisions. I know we've seen that now with South Carolina and Clemson, with one of them being AAU D1 and the other one being AAU D2. But I would imagine down the road we get Kentucky to bite on this conference too. So that was kind of where I wanted to go next. And we do our 611 thoughts segment of the show where we kind of just babble on about different ideas that could happen within the ACHA or AAU college hockey. And I mentioned it to Herm already, but it's not the teams that are joining this conference, but it's the criteria, right? The Power Five schools with no NCAA hockey on campus, the fully developed ACHA programs, and the widespread fan support. So I wanted to look at some of those teams that kind of meet that criteria. And that's why I say Kentucky, because I think they do, like, maybe they haven't had the success that they want, but it's a well-built ACHA program. They've been a household name in the ACHA. They're a Power Five school. And you can't deny that they don't have the fan base to support this. Going along the list, I'm thinking of other Power Five schools. I added Indiana, right? Coming off of a national title, they are a Power Five school, big brand name, fan support. I think that would certainly be one. Geography doesn't really work in their favor on that one. Looking at some other Power Five schools with ACHA hockey, you think Pitt in West Virginia, they're there on the East Coast. You have to think about them. Some other ACHA schools, I think, you know, certainly Pitt has the foundation as a great ACHA program. West Virginia has been around for a long time now. Definitely two schools with fan support and honestly markets, which it sounds funny to talk about markets, but I think those are two, you know, the Pittsburgh area is a big hockey market as well. And Robert Morris is kind of the lone college team in that area. Two other schools that are kind of reaches, I think Syracuse and Oklahoma, again, Power Five schools with big athletic departments. that don't have NCAA hockey already. Syracuse might be a little too north for this, and Oklahoma might be a little too far west. But then if you want to talk about Power Five schools that might make more sense logistically, geography, you'd think maybe Maryland, Rutgers, you know, they're in the mid-Atlantic there. They could certainly connect the conference. And, you know, maybe those two teams don't have the best ACHA history, but that's something you could go and Herm. Are there any teams that I've kind of mentioned? I know we got more on this list to walk through, but those are kind of the big ones that stand out to me. Anything that you would think? I know, you know, you and I both have a great relationship with Syracuse, so we would probably love to see that one happen. I don't know if that makes sense geography wise, but I think a couple of those other teams that we've mentioned would certainly be on the radar for this conference.
I also put down a couple of others as speculative ones for schools that qualify for that criteria. Iowa State, Navy, Cincinnati, if they continue to go on an upward trajectory. A little bit further down the line, maybe, if the conference decides to expand a little bit more west, but Missouri, Kansas, and Arkansas all could see continued growth trajectory as well. And then the never say never of this list is, yeah, they drew exclusively from ACHA schools, but Georgia, South Carolina, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Clemson, and then maybe Miami down their line if their program continues to grow, all fit that bill as well. Maybe we see them cross party lines and jump back over to the ACHA.
I was looking at your list and I was a little confused at first seeing Cincinnati, but I forgot that they're now a Power Five school. I know they had a down year last year, but they certainly have the resources too. I think they have the brand recognition to do so. They have one of the best locker rooms in all of the ACHA. I know they just recently added a Division III team, so that would be in a world where you could have an M2 team and an M1 team, and that would be great to have. And then I do think it's going to take, especially with those schools down south and having Alabama, a way to find an AAU team. And I don't know if that's you have an AAU school that maybe adds an ACHA team the way Alabama has both. But I think if this conference is going to be successful, and especially for Alabama, because I think the big part of this is the brand recognition, right? When Alabama fans are finding out that, hey, UNC is coming to town or Louisville's coming to town, like, yeah, those are big names. But I think the people in Pelham would get more fired up to see some SEC schools come to town too. And like how you mentioned, you know, South Carolina and Clemson, because those schools are kind of in that Carolinas region and would be really good fits and kind of fit that SEC mold. This could change the landscape of the ACHA, right? We've talked about it a couple of times about, yeah, it's great to see Saginaw Valley jumping up to Division I, but that's not like getting you out of your seat, right? Like, we love Sag Valley and the work that they do there, and they're going to have a great year in M1 to start, but it's going to be those big name brands. You know, the kind of schools that draw the attention of a Spittin' Chiclets or an ESPN, right? When you see two schools that don't have NCAA hockey going head to head like that, you know, it raises people's eyebrows. So I'm really excited about this. I know we've talked to Coach Tim Healy at NC State. He's very excited about this and mentioned that, you know, he's been wanting to do this for a really long time. And, you know, he did mention that it was kind of sparked by seeing the number of teams the ACHA was adding. And that was kind of the thing, like, hey, we're right there with those teams that they're adding. And I know NC State hasn't really gotten over the hump in regionals the last couple of years, but next season will likely be their last chance at it. So I would love to see them go on a run. And too, I like seeing Louisville as part of this list as well. So those are programs that, you know, we could be watching their last season in M2 next year. And it's crazy, this conversation, you know, we're talking about maybe these teams going NCAA someday, and you want to talk about teams that might go NCAA someday, we got to talk about Tennessee State, because the other day, the Tigers social media team putting out a little teaser about them joining the NCAA, they changed their Instagram and Twitter bio to include the official account of Tennessee State University Hockey at NCAA Hockey Independent 2025-26. So there's been no official press release, but a little teaser from TSU, kind of seeing what's going on behind the scenes here. Herm, I'm curious, you know, we've got a little behind the scenes scoop and a little nudge and poke about this, but certainly a lot faster than we expected. Now, nothing is official or in writing, but seems like something is coming around the corner with them putting that in the bio.
I'm sure there are schools and teams around the country that are just kind of green with envy at the way that TSU has kind of stepped up to the ball so quickly. I think it speaks to what happens when a university at large and then the city is ready to pour resources into a team. We see it all too often where schools basically pretend that their winning teams at the ACHA or AAU level don't exist. This could not be farther from the truth when it comes to TSU. And it doesn't surprise me that they're ready to make a quicker jump than I think anyone expected.
Yeah, and speaking of jumping to NCAA, I want to go back because there was one thing I wanted to ask you about from a media perspective. And I think days like today are interesting because, you know, we saw it with the teams in College Hockey South when, you know, Tennessee and Florida announced that they were moving up to Division I. It kind of garnered the same reaction from those fan bases at NC State and Louisville and UNC when they found out they were going Division I, because you have to be very careful with the wording, right? They're not going Division I NCAA. And I think when people see they're going Division I, you know, they jump to conclusions very quickly. And I thought, you know, today they did, I saw the NC State Twitter account responding to people saying like, hey, just so you know, this is ACHA M1. Okay. We would like to go Division I someday, but you know, today is not that day.
We don't have it on the notes, but this is my impromptu Hammerina hot seat. I'll say leagues with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because they know who they are, specifically saying Division I when they know fully well it's not NCAA Division I. Maybe promoting the fact that they did a really, really good amount of social media traffic based off the fact that they said Division I, which is a little gray, in my opinion.
Well, and UNC, you know, took a very similar approach today too. Like their graphic just said in giant letters, Division I, and obviously they have a rink coming down the road too. So I think their flowers will come someday too, but it is a huge step for these programs going ACHA M1, and it's going to be very exciting. I'm sure that'll help for recruiting over the next couple of years, because maybe that was a deterrent over the last couple of years with these schools is, hey, I want to go play ACHA hockey, but I don't want to play ACHA D2. Like, you know, maybe they want, that is going to be the difference in recruiting. And I know, you know, Coach Healy mentioned the success that both NC State and UNC have had coming off of Frozen Finley. And that might not have been evident last season with the recruits that came in, because by the time Frozen Finley had already happened, you know, decisions had been made. So that is something that we're going to keep an eye on when they take the ice in the fall here. More ACHA news. UCO is looking for a new head coach. Coach Mike Rivera has resigned from his position as head coach of the Broncos. Rivera had been an integral part of the UCO hockey organization for the past decade. As a player, he helped the Chos win their first national championship in 2015, earning tournament MVP honors. Rivera would go on to earn his BS in accounting and MBA from UCO and stepped right into coaching after two seasons as an assistant coach. He took over behind the bench as the head coach in October of 2019. Under Rivera, the winning tradition continued as the Chos would accumulate a record of 113-26, winning back-to-back-to-back WCHL championships, two Final Four appearances, and a national runner-up. So Coach Rivera will be dearly missed behind the bench, and that is a UCO program that is always in the mix, and it is going to take someone very special to get behind the bench and continue that winning tradition for the Chos, because Herm, you and I have been going to Nationals for a couple of years now, and they are always in the mix come March.
Perpetually a team that plays physical, gritty hockey, and as we saw from that cardiac Chos run, never, ever gives up.
One of the teams that we mentioned maybe is joining this new conference when you're thinking about ACHA programs at the Division I level, Power 5 branding. You got to think West Virginia. They certainly have the fan base to do it, and they have the jerseys to do it as well. The Mountaineers got their revenge as their Almost Heaven third jerseys were named the College Club Hockey Uniform of the Year by Uniswag, a redemption tour for WVU as they fell to UNC in the final days of the annual Hockey House Pod Jersey of the Year tournament that we did back in January. Looking forward to doing that again as well next season. But it was good to see these jerseys get the recognition that they deserve, because it was a fantastic design, very unique to college hockey, and I think they knocked it out of the park. More news out of the ACCHL. This one might not make the front page, but it's certainly newsworthy. TCNJ finds a new home in Men's Division 2. They will be joining the M2A division of the ACCHL next season. And then Herm, I was looking at this, I was trying to find more details on it, but AAU was tagged in the post, which I'm assuming that means TCNJ might be a new member of AAU. And I know the ACCHL is going to feature a conference that has teams from the ACHA and AAU. So that seems to be where the Lions are wedging in right there. But we will not do a closing of this podcast, a brief news week. Again, some major news, but not much. So we're going to get ready for our interview. But before we head out, Herm, any last thoughts here? I mean, game one is in the books. By the time this recording is coming out. You'll be glued to the Stanley Cup playoffs for your favorite team and just checking in on the heart rate.
Was not great yesterday. Let's just put it that way.
Thank you for those listening and tuning in. As always, we have a great interview on deck with the boys from the GCU roller hockey team. Some record-breaking stuff from the Hockey House Pod, our first roller hockey team to come on. And they had a heck of a run at the 2024 National Championship. So we will turn over the boys from GCU. Of course, have a great Memorial Day weekend. This interview is brought to you by OptimX Sports. OptimX provides teams the opportunity to build and manage their own website. The best part is these guys know club hockey. So be sure to check them out using the link in our bio. And if you're interested in signing up, be sure to use our referral link at optimxsports.com/signup/hockeyhousepod. For the first time ever, we're pleased to be joined by two members of the 2024 National Collegiate Roller Hockey Association Division I National Championship team from the Antelopes of Grand Canyon University, Captain Aiden Schwetz and Assistant Captain Bryden Frisk. Boys, welcome to the Hockey House.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be the first roller guys here on the Hockey House Pod, and very much appreciate you having us.
It's so exciting to have you guys on too, and I do want to preface that we've had roller guys on before, never had roller specific guys, right? Like, we've had plenty of guys who played in the ACHA and they played a little roller hockey growing up. Some of them still play in the summertime as well, and I'm sure they play in some of the same summer tournaments you guys are going to. We can kind of talk about that. Aiden, you sent me the message, heck of a story, and I was sold right away. I was like, we got to get these guys on the pod. We got to get them on the national championship tour here. You guys are living it up. Where are you zooming in from right now?
So we are in Santa Marta, Colombia at the moment. We, the three of us, actually play. There's another kid over on the right here, Ruben Gonzalez. We play for a pro Colombian team down here in Bogota called Avalancha. And we were down here for the month, decided to come to Santa Marta for the week and continue a little bit Division One celebration. We've been celebrating pretty hard all month.
This is the first like week we've actually gotten away from the rink though.
Yeah.
So it's been really good.
When did classes wrap up for you guys?
Classes wrapped up like a couple days after we won. I'd say 3.5 weeks ago.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, so you guys have been off for some time now.
We have, yeah.
Let's dive into the championship here, because I, you know, the first clip I saw this, I knew that the roller hockey national championships were going on. I feel like I blinked and all of a sudden I'm on Instagram and I see a video of you guys chucking your gloves up in the purple jerseys with the white pinstripes. And it's like, wow, like, you know, GCU knocked off Lindenwood. Like, kind of walk us through how special that day was.
To kind of give a full context, because we know that the ACHAAU audience doesn't exactly know a whole lot about college roller. Lindenwood University is presented to the world and is very much so like the Alabama of collegiate roller hockey. Like, as dominant as they were in the ACHA before they moved up to the NCAA, they are 10 times more dominant in college roller. They've won 12 out of 24 Division I national titles. They've won 17 out of 19 Division AA national titles. I mean, they're an absolute powerhouse. They're only one of two schools that offer scholarships and full rides and all that good stuff. I attended Lindenwood for 2 years, just through a series of situations, decided I wanted to leave, pursue something a little bit different. Started the program at GCU, and what really made this title special, on top of, you know, just winning a Division I national championship, was the fact that in just 2 seasons of existence, we went from literally nothing to knocking off the Alabama of collegiate roller hockey, Lindenwood University, in triple overtime in what was the most watched collegiate roller hockey game of all time. I believe top 5 most watched roller hockey games of all time.
At this point, this team hasn't lost in 2 years.
I mean, they're always on a winning streak, but in the last 3 seasons, they had lost one game. Last year, Lindenwood won the Division I National Championship 13-0. They are as much of a powerhouse as a powerhouse could be in any kind of sport. So that's what really made this so extra amazing and special, and why everyone has dubbed it Miracle on Tile and potentially one of the greatest roller games ever played.
I mean, we watched Miracle 5 different times.
During the tournament.
Over the course of every night, we had to make sure, all right, let's watch Miracle again.
I'm doing my elite prospects, my Instagram searching and anything I can find on GCU roller hockey. And it's so crazy because, to me, you know, I've only seen the success that you guys have had over the last couple months, right? Like, I've seen the videos on social media. I've seen the annual, you know, ACHA versus roller game that takes place on campus. And here I am thinking, like,
wow, GCU, they have a roller rink in the middle of campus. Like, these guys must be a powerhouse. And then it wasn't until my research today that I find out, like, the program's only been around for 2 years. And it's like, holy cow, like, what is going on at GCU here? And Aiden, I want to toss it over to you first, because, like, why GCU? Were you already going to GCU and then you realized, hey, they don't have a team? Or were you kind of, like, thinking about, hey, if I'm going to switch schools, I want to go to a place where maybe I can build a program?
I was at Lindenwood for my first 2 years. I didn't feel like I was being presented enough opportunity to grow as a player. That was the number one thing I was looking for, is where can I play as much roller hockey as humanly possible? You know, where can I find a better situation? And there was no better situation than Lindenwood. So I had to leave. I picked GCU for a multitude of reasons. The area itself is amazing. I mean, Arizona is so beautiful. I've lived all over the place, Boston, New York, all over California, and never quite lived somewhere as amazing as Arizona. On top of that, the school has 80% women. We've got 5 pools and 2 jacuzzis. The campus is like its own haven. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then what really was the cherry on top is that we had a roller rink on campus, which is something that almost no other schools have. Even though it's not the greatest rink ever, it's usable and we use it for fun. And it's honestly just like the perfect selling point. It's what clicked in my head. It was like, we're going to be, you know, Division I from day one, and we're going to have a rink on campus. How could you pass that up as like an upcoming high school kid, you know, looking at where you might want to go? There's so many high school roller hockey players in California and Oregon. The decision of, you know, do I want to go all the way out to Missouri or even potentially New York to play college roller? Or do I want to stay a little bit closer to home, is such an amazing situation. That was really where my head was at. And at the beginning, our school was like incredibly supportive of the program. And I mean, when I first pitched it to them, one of the girls in the meeting was literally signing me up for classes as I was giving the presentation. I was like, wait. Like, I still attend Lindenwood. Like, I got to talk to my coaches first. So that's really why I picked GCU. And honestly, as more time goes on, more reasons pop up as to why I'm happy I made the choice for GCU. There's just so many amazing things. And on top of our cult-like fan following with the Havocs and our, if you've ever seen our baseball or basketball games, it's incredible. There's a million reasons.
Well, Brian, I got to ask now, like, how do you get involved in this whole situation? Because I know you played roller hockey growing up. At what point did you find out that there was going to be a roller hockey team at GCU?
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. So I played overseas the year prior for a team called Las Rosas Candibales. This is when I was living in Madrid, Spain for 9 months. And while I was over there, I was telling the guys, oh, there's this tournament in California and you guys should go to this tournament. Went to the tournament. The guys showed up with a 4-hour delayed plane. I think it took them 24 hours to get from London all the way to AX. And we already delayed our first game of the tournament by, I think, about 1 hour and a half. The guy that runs the tournament was already pissed with us. We show up and where's our bags? Bags are all gone. We go to play 24U and none of our players have gear. So we're scavengering around the rink and our goalie has to use like U-size pads. So we're playing like, I think it was the Lot Dogs at the time, which is a bunch of like the U of A ice guys. So like they were good. And we had a goalie with little kids gear on and just got mercied. While I was at this tournament, one of the games I played against Aiden and my other buddy from home was playing. He was trying roller for the first time. He's an ice guy as well. My buddy goes up to Aiden and he's like, oh, any props, any tips? Like, I'm new to this roller hockey stuff. Aiden says, oh, you looked really good out there. Like, you should come to GCU, thinking I was him.
I mistook him. Yeah.
He made a wholesale sales pitch to my buddy whose first time skating was at this tournament. And then he realizes it, I don't know, overnight, sends me a text on Instagram.
Like, oh, crap, I talked to the wrong person.
Exactly. Then he gave me the pitch. And at the time, I was thinking of going to Paris to play. There's a team called Tigers de Garge. I had like a few friends who were playing for that team, said good things about it. At the same time, you know, getting an education is pretty important. I didn't really have any other opportunities to do it at. So heavily considered his proposal.
I got my pitch down pat. I spent that entire first summer literally like 10 hours a day on the phone giving the same pitch over and over and over again. So by the time I got to Brighton, it was down pat. It was good.
Yeah.
Your buddy missed out. He should have said yes before Aiden realized he had the wrong guy.
For real. He scored the first goal in the championship. So glad. I mean, and about 500 others, but I'm so glad it worked out the way it did.
Well, and I got to ask, because you mentioned it, you know, the passion that comes from GCU, right? Maybe GCU is one of those schools where it's like, if people don't know about it, I think they think like, that's got to be fake. Like there's a school, Grand Canyon University. And I think, you know, around March Madness time when everyone's falling around college basketball and GCU is always kind of in the conversation, being on the bubble. And that seems to be the most popular time of year when people are like, Grand Canyon University, that can't be real. Like, do you guys make jokes about people saying that like it's a school that doesn't exist? Or I mean, is it just too wonderful of a place to even consider that?
It was actually probably the number one chirp we've heard over the last 2 years. This kids just go, dude, you go to GCU, like, what are you talking about? And we look at the scoreboard and it's 7-1 and we're like, what do we care? So, I mean, to be honest, like, yes, obviously education is very important, but almost every single player on our team came to GCU specifically for the roller program. We're here for roller. Whether GCU is an amazing school or a terrible school or has an amazing campus, bad campus, like however anyone views it, we're here to be the best collegiate roller hockey program of all time. And so far, we're on a pretty good path to make that happen and create an experience for players that want to take hockey as seriously as possible in the collegiate age range and allow them to do so to the fullest extent. I think that stigma really comes from how much our school advertises. I mean, we have 120,000 students just online. So, you know, you factor in the 30,000 on campus, we have 150,000 students worldwide. And you see advertisements on TV. And when you come down the Phoenix airport, or actually a lot of airports on the West Coast, like, you see the advertisements all over the airport. And that's really where it comes from. Yeah. You know, it's not the greatest academic school on earth, but it's okay because we're here to play some puck.
I grew up in New Hampshire and we have Southern New Hampshire University. So at snhu.edu, like that's a big time online school. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize it's a Division II college in New Hampshire, right? Like they have the in-person stuff, you know, small D2 sports teams, but then they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people taking the online classes too. So like, you know, it's like University of Phoenix. Like people see the ads and they're like, wait, that's a real place. Let's dive into your roller hockey backgrounds here. Like, want to know, how did you get into the sport? Cause Aiden, I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but you know, you started playing hockey and then transitioned into roller in college.
I actually started with roller. I played roller only until I was 11. My local roller rink shut down, the Roller Dome, rest in peace. It shut down. So I switched to ice, played ice for about 12 years till I was 18. Did the whole AAA thing, billeted in Boston, playing for the Boston Bandits, New York playing for CP Dynamo. I liked it. I never like really fell in love with it. I think as much as I have clearly done with roller, I ended up dislocating my shoulder 7 times my last season out there with the Dynamo. And after the season was over, had surgery, ended up not picking up a hockey stick for 2 years. Didn't skate, didn't do nothing. And my buddy, Adam Poe, I was living with him at the time, begged me for months and months to come play this outdoor like pickup game with a bunch of, you know, 15, 60 year olds. And I said no and no and no for months. And finally, I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I need to stop playing Fortnite. So I decided to get my gear again. And we went out and literally within like 3 minutes, I was like, I can't believe I ever stopped playing this. Like, I freaking love this so much. Literally right then, I was like, I want to play college roller hockey. I want to play professionally. Like, I'm dedicating my entire life to this. I'm throwing my whole effort into this, and ended up working out 4 years later. GCU is actually the third school I went to. So I actually originally went to ASU. Everything got shut down because of COVID. Then I transferred to Lindenwood, was there for 2 years, and then ended up transferring to GCU. So as far as entire roller hockey background, I've also been lucky enough to wear the red, white, and blue in the South American Games for Team USA. I ended up getting silver. And then also got to wear the red, white, and blue for the NCRHA All-Star team called the All-Americans, went down to Brazil, also got silver, actually lost both tournaments in the exact same way, lost in overtime with 7 seconds left both times. So hopefully this next round, if I get picked again, won't end up that way.
Well, you got to trade off, right? You know, you lost 2 overtime games and then you guys won the national championship in triple over. You'll take that trade at the end of the day.
100%. I'd take that trade any day of the week because damn good trade.
My story. A lot different than his. My dad, he grew up playing roller hockey. Back in the 90s, roller hockey was a pretty big scene. He grew up playing ice because everyone in Canada plays ice. The biggest thing was to start playing roller hockey. That's when the rollerblade came out and things like that. So him and his buddies started playing. They had a league called the RHI. That was like the goal, to go and play for the Vancouver Voodoo at the time. You could literally play professional roller hockey in America, and same way you'll be in the coast. He ended up doing that till about I was born. When I was growing up, obviously I want to be just like my dad. I want to play hockey. Ice hockey was too expensive for me. The best option obviously was to be playing roller. So till I was about 14, I was playing roller hockey. And then my bantam year, I tried ice. I was in Aldergrove, so it's like on the border. So there was not a lot of people in that city. So I tried out for one team. I ended up being last cut. I was like 5'5 and 90 pounds. First time like ice skating, like I was trying to do C cuts to soft. Wasn't a good look. After that year, I was like, yeah, I'm going to stick to roller. I'm not physically big enough or anything like that. I've always been like more of a shifty, good hands, quick thinker guy. So I was like, yeah, that doesn't really benefit me for ice hockey, being 5'5 at the time. But then I grew 6 inches like the following year. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it worked out in the end. No regrets.
You know, different on our side of things, right? And the ice side, it's like everyone grows up knowing college hockey is a thing, right? But like people don't usually find out about the ACHA until the ACHA comes knocking on their door, you know, when they're 19, 20 years old and juniors. So what does collegiate roller hockey look like as a kid when you're growing up? Is that something people are aware of? Or is it just like, no. Hey, if you're playing, you know, you're just going to play until the wheels fall off and you're old and wrinkly?
No, nobody knows about college roller, not youth kids, not adults, not college age kids. The only people that know about college roller are the ones that play it and their friends and family. That's about it. The marketing needs some significant improvement. The league used to be a lot bigger. It used to have over 200 teams and over 2,500 players. It's a little bit smaller now. We're at about 70 teams. It's on an upswing. We gain about one or two teams every year for the last couple of years. So we're hoping that the exposure that we've been able to do with GCU and how successful you can be pretty immediately, that that'll continue. As far as like what we look at growing up is really you look at the pro teams in the tournament circuit. So in North America, we have a pro league, but it's honestly a gigantic joke. I mean, first off, you have to pay to play in it. So nobody's getting paid. No one knows about it at all. I mean, still the kids barely know about it. So really what you look up to is the pro teams at the summer tournaments. We have three majors, NARCH, Tours, and State Wars. And the pro teams that win that, that's kind of what a lot of the youth kids look up to. So you're talking the Palma La Beta Golden Knights, the Mission La Beta Snipers, Unified Black Ice, or whatever sponsor they have this year. It changes every year. The Tour Roadrunners, teams like that, that's who you're really looking up to. So we're hoping to change that. I've been a very big proponent of that over the last couple of years. Roller hockey just has a huge marketing issue. It doesn't market itself at all, just as a whole, as a sport, especially in North America. College is obviously no exception. There needs to be a giant shift or focus shift into leagues. Right now, it's all tournament focused. Is the only thing anybody ever cares about is tournaments.
The whole idea is basically to just like put together a good squad, win 30 grand here for this tournament, win 25 grand here for this tournament. And then that'll get you enough funding for the following year. So it's like,
yeah, it's just, there's not a lot of effort. It doesn't last. Tournament teams, they come and go like the wind. Colleges don't, you know, you know, obviously college ice teams, it's very rare when one drops off. It's a little bit more often in roller, and that we hope that changes, but we really need to shift the focus into more leagues because they're more permanent. There are things that, you know, it's a league. So you're going to do it all year. A league is something that a kid can look to play in long term. You know, tournament teams, it's a weekend hobby. You know, name one other sport of any sort of significance where it's completely focused on tournaments that don't have anything to do with each other. So like golf doesn't count because you carry points from tournament to tournament. Wrestling doesn't count because you carry points from tournament to tournament. It's still a league. There's no other sport in the world that only focuses on tournaments. So we really need to fix that as a sport.
Mentioning, hey, we need a little more advertising, need more promotion of this. One guy that comes to my mind is Nasher, right? Like he's the first guy I think of when it comes to like roller hockey content. I know he's building that new rink. Is he playing in this tournament circuit that you guys are talking about? Like I know he plays in the Wish Cup, in which you've played in as well before. Is that cool to see a guy like with his following promoting roller hockey so much?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, roller needs all the marketing that it can get. And especially like him building a rink, we need more rinks. the Heatwave Arena. It's super cool, especially since he started building the rink. He started answering a lot of questions that ice hockey guys always have. Something as, you know, ridiculous as like the tall glass boards that some of our rinks have, where there's no actual boards, it's just glass from top to bottom. He does like videos of like, no, these things aren't going to break, like they're real boards, you know, like it still works, it just because ice doesn't have it, or like, why do tournaments only have two periods? And he's been answering a lot of those questions, which is good, and kind of bridging the gap and giving ice players the knowledge of being like, oh, this isn't like a completely foreign thing. Like, it's a different sport, don't get me wrong. It's, there's usually a pretty long, not a long, a more than anticipated transition between ice and roller, just with the way that the game is played. He's helping a lot for sure. And I hope he starts a college team, honestly, out of that arena. That'd be perfect.
The Columbus Heat as a whole, I think they play about men's gold, men's platinum. So not,
they play in Myha. So our pro league is called Pyha. Myha is right underneath it.
Got it. But yeah, that'd be great if he could start a college team out of there. Or again, like, I know you're mentioning you want to see maybe less tournaments and more leagues, but you know, even if it's him hosting a college tournament there, you know, right, for the weekend and getting some teams to go into Columbus, that would be cool. We talked a little bit about the differences between ice and roller, and I want to know this question because you guys seem like big style guys. I'm looking at the Instagrams, like you guys have great threads. What is something that's like sty and roller hockey where if you brought that to the ice, like you might be getting some chirps?
White skates.
Oh, that's a good one.
White skates, you would get chirped out of your mind in ice. And it's actually, not only is it pretty common, but our skate sponsor, Alkali, that's like their brand new skate right now, is all white. And it's pretty popular. That's something that no ice guy is ever going to pick that up.
Not very often, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe your sock game, like, we know you're an ice guy if you go full knee to ankle. Bunch of different ways to do your pants. You kind of find what works for you, but for me, I rock the disco pants. So I just go around the knee, below the knee.
Let it flow out on the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that looks like disco pants.
Yeah. Like flopping your tongue is also extremely common in roller. So I know it's like some guys do it in ice.
It used to be more popular in ice. I feel like it's gone away in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Right. I mean, when I played ice, I tucked my tongue just like everybody else. And the skates that I'm wearing right now, the Alkali Sellies, the tongue was too thick, so I couldn't tuck it. So I went back to flopping, and I don't know, I think it looks pretty good.
And what went into the pinstripe design? Like, was there anything in going into the background when you're designing the jerseys? Because you have a clean slate when you're starting a new program. You can do whatever you want with the jerseys and people are going to run with it.
Yes. So there actually was a lot of purpose behind the pinstripes. I'm a marketing guy. I love promotion and all that good stuff, advertising. So I knew that when I was starting this program, I had to create a brand. And now, obviously, GCU has its own brand, but in the world of roller hockey, it doesn't. And nobody knows what it is or who we are. And it doesn't matter how much promotion the school does. The only thing that they're going to care about is what the roller team is doing. The first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to own the color purple. I mean, obviously, you can see I'm wearing purple. It's half of my closet now. Our bags had to be purple. Our backpacks had to be purple. Our blood had to be purple. Our hats had to be purple. Like, everything had to be purple. We did the purple helmets. We did the giant lope on the side. That's like the entire helmet that's been coming into style, like what Arizona State's NCAA team does. When I was going into the jersey design, obviously everything had to be purple. I wanted something that was still roller, because roller designs typically are a lot more complicated, have a lot more things going on.
They look like motocross jerseys almost.
Yeah, honestly.
Larger canvas, right? Exactly. You're not just designing the jersey, you're designing everything.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I also didn't want it to be too much roller. I wanted it to be classic college, simple stripes. And so I wanted to find a middle ground where it was still roller, but you would still wear it outside of the game or something. Like, you know, if a fan were to buy the jersey, they wouldn't feel completely ridiculous wearing it to a bar or just going out to drink or whatever it might be. And we've really claimed the like earn your stripes thing and claim the pinstripes in the college league. There's been like six teams copy us ever since we brought it there. We're not the first ones to do it in roller, but definitely the first in the college game. We're definitely looking to expand. Hopefully we'll have three uniforms next year and bring in a black set.
And once we started setting up this interview and going back and forth, instantly followed the Lopes roller account. And I saw that you did some new player signings this year. Mm-hmm. And you have the first female player in program history signing with the team. Like, talk about that decision as GM. Like, that's pretty groundbreaking, especially for a new program.
Very excited to have Moana next year. we are absolutely going to have two teams next season. And this is another thing that probably nobody listening to this knows. In collegiate roller hockey, we have what is probably the dumbest rule in all of sports. And that is where if you have a primary team, whether it's D1, D2, or D3, your secondary team goes into its own division called AA. What ends up happening is there's schools like Lindenwood and Bethel University where their secondary team are guys that just barely didn't make the D1 squad who are playing against kids who just barely didn't make the D3 squad at another school. So it's a ridiculous division. We call it the Lindenwood division because they've won 17 out of 19 years. It's like a gimme ring. But anyways, we will have a team in it next year. College roller is technically co-ed. I think there were 13 women in the league last season. You got Miranda Lemus at Boston U. You got Catherine Reyes at CSU Fullerton. Half of the Vermont team is women, actually. So you've got girls scattered all over the place. And so not completely groundbreaking as a sport, but it will be the first for us. Definitely looking forward to having two teams. And, you know, the goal for next season is absolutely to, you know, be the David once again and taking down Goliath in not only the top division, but AA as well. So really looking forward to having an ample amount of opportunity to bring to both rosters. And that was one thing I really wanted to make sure I mentioned on this was how much we built this program on two things. And the first one was giving a shit. Honestly, I know it's in my Instagram bio, like it's what we live and breathe. Roller hockey has a huge culture problem where, you know, people really view it as like secondary to ice. They view it as a redheaded stepchild sport. That's not how we wanted to live. It's not how I wanted my college experience to go. So like we created a program where everyone fucking cares a lot. The other part of that is creating as much opportunity as humanly possible. When you play in our program, I guarantee you will have as much roller hockey as you can possibly want or possibly play. We play twice as many games as any other college team in the country through exhibitions and college games and college series. And so along with that, like, of course, we're going to try and be signing a girl or signing as many players as possible, creating more teams and growing as much as we can.
No, I think it's great. And it's honestly, it's very interesting because we've talked about it a lot too on our show, because it does seem like with the rise of club hockey over the last year, you see schools that are adding second teams. And it's always, you know, how many teams is enough teams, right? Like you got some teams now, like I look at an Alabama and they've got like a hockey team at every level now. And they just added a women's team, which is great too. And I think it's interesting the approach that roller takes with that AA division. It almost kind of feels like a JV division.
It actually used to be called the JV division. It's had a bunch of different names. I played on the AA team actually when I was at Lindenwood both years. It was called Division 4 back then, and I can't tell you how embarrassing that is. When I've played for Team USA and was on a secondary roster at my college, it was pretty unbelievable. So if you can understand why I left, but it's been called AA, it's been called D4, it's been called JV, it's been called the competitive division, the B division. It's gone all over the place, and I hope they just get freaking rid of it. It's so dumb.
Walk me through the national tournament, because I played at this rink growing up. Like I'm a New England kid. I've been to Lewiston and Auburn. So when I'm seeing the highlights here, I'm like, they played the national tournament in Auburn, Maine. Like you guys have traveled across the globe for roller hockey. Like what were your first thoughts when you heard, you know, the tournament's going to be in Maine, or were you just like, hey, we're going to go wherever that tournament is?
I was hoping it was going to be somewhere close to Florida. You know, last year we were in LA, so kind of the exact opposite. And I had no idea about, I didn't even know Auburn was a state, to be honest. Like
Auburn's not a state. Maine's a state.
Sorry. There you go. There it is.
Yeah. Hey, it happens.
I'm Canadian. So yeah, I had no clue of where it was on the map. I was kind of disappointed, but it was like, as long as we win, it'll be worth it.
It doesn't really matter where the national tournament is. Division I roller hockey is unique where we don't have that many teams in Division I, so everyone gets an automatic bid to nationals. You know, we knew we were going to have to budget for it. Coming from Arizona, it was pretty far, but it's all right. We kind of got a gimme year the year before being in Irvine that we could drive to it. This next year, I don't know if they want us telling where it is, but it's about exactly as far as Auburn, Maine. So still have to budget for the very expensive trip this coming year.
I love that. We'll keep the people listening guessing on what's just as far as Auburn, Maine. One guy I want to ask about, because in doing my research, I saw, you know, a former ACHA guy who you guys picked up last season, and that was your goalie who made some big saves in the national tournament. Max Curry comes over from Lake Superior State, which has a really good ACHA Division II team on the men's side. I mean, walk us through his performance at Nationals, because it seems like he made some pretty unbelievable saves.
King Curry. He's unbelievable. 54 saves on 55 shots. I mean, can't ask for anything more than that. He was an absolute stud the entire weekend, but most importantly, the entire year. We actually had three goalies this season just for the one team, which in ice hockey is not crazy weird. In roller hockey, it's quite literally unheard of. Most colleges only carry one goalie and very few carry two, but we were at three this year. All three of our goalies, understandably, were frustrated with just having to share the ice time with two other guys. And he was a trooper. All of them were troopers all season. And he ended up getting that starting spot going into nationals. And he just absolutely killed it. I mean, what an incredible brick wall. I think he's probably one of the most famous goalies on earth now, just because of that one game.
I mean, I'm not that surprised myself. I've played with him for a few different years. Going back to 2019, went to the Pan American Games. And I was 16 and he was 17, playing with a bunch of 25, 30-year-olds. And back then, he was standing on his head. So I wasn't too surprised. I knew after last summer, he was thinking about transferring to another school because the way he was getting treated at Lake Superior State wasn't exactly what he was promised. He was kind of looking around and I was like, well, if you don't figure something out, why don't you just transfer and play some roller for a year, see how you like it, win a national championship. And that's exactly what happened. So it's kind of the storybook ending, just how we drew it up.
Now, I'm looking at your schedule now, and geography-wise, like, there's a lot of teams on this schedule that, like, you know, I'm not familiar with. Like, they have club hockey teams on the ACHA side, but, you know, they're not as, you know, prominent nationwide. Like, who are the biggest rivals that you guys have? Are there games, you know, as a two-year program, or your games, are there games that you look back on and you're like, yeah, like, we don't like to play those guys?
It's not that we don't like to play anybody. Again, big opportunity guy. Like, I want to play the biggest and the best as many times as we can. And the best programs overall, I mean, it's going to be, well, now us, Lindenwood, Bethel University, which is in McKenzie, Tennessee. Every year, except for maybe this past season, Arizona State is usually a big powerhouse in Division One. So that was also another big drawing factor for us, like being able to have two Division One teams so close together and making that travel super easy. University of Arizona, which is actually a Division Two team.
I would say that's our number one rival.
Yeah, this past year.
Over the last 2 years.
Definitely U of A. They, outside of our one loss at Nationals, handed us all three of our losses during the regular season, despite being a D2 team. They won the Division Two National Championship, which was huge for Arizona roller hockey, two Arizona teams taking home one and two. I'd say U of A. And that story goes back a long, long, long time, actually. I played on a Pi Ha team called the Impact Coyotes, and 3-4 years ago, whatever it was, they ended up inviting us to go play an exhibition game so they could have a senior night. We ended up winning, beating their top team 8-7 in overtime. I had four of them and the overtime winner. It was a little bit of a dick move, but honestly, it was pretty funny. Before the game started, I wrote my phone number on a puck and I threw it to one of the girls in the stands. And they got real pissed about that. So understandably. And so that's when our rivalry kind of started. And then they found out we were doing a D1 roller team and it just kind of blossomed from there. And the online shit talking has never stopped.
I remember like the first tournament with the guys, it was like, all right, we're playing U of A, like buckle in, like they're going to be a bunch of assholes. It's an Ironman tournament. So you have four guys play 8 minutes in a row. And then whoever's winning at the end of that. And I think we went to shootout against them both times. Non-stop chirping the whole game. Like, it's nothing short of the beginning of the greatest rivalry, because I think they're going to moved up to D1 next year.
They better get forced up into D1. I mean, they won and they handed us all of our losses. And I mean, honestly, the rivalries was something that I wanted to have when I started the program. You know, I didn't think they would develop for a long time. I kind of wanted to force it. We really needed to hit the ground running with like creating history and creating tradition.
The guy thinks he's Kanye.
rivalries are definitely a part of that. So I'm kind of glad that it happened the way that it did with schools like U of A. And I think our rivalry with Bethel is going to continue to grow. We played a college series against them, 3 games, 2 weeks before Nationals. They beat us all 3 games. And not only did they beat this, but they kind of kicked our asses. Going from losing to them 3 times to then beating them twice and ending their season in semis was, I think that's going to start a new rivalry for next year and for years to come.
I also play with a bunch of the Uve Ice guys with a pro squad. We're called Champion Wheelers. So I play with, you probably know these guys, Tyler Shetland, Dylan Dix, Brandon Williams, Jed Overland. Those guys all play with me just at this last NARCH regional. I'm going to go play with them next weekend at the Wish Cup.
We love to hear that. Love Dylan Dix. I was actually just talking roller with him the other day. I should have shot him a text before this, but he was my go-to guy for roller hockey news. Yeah, you guys might take his place now. And I got to ask about Bethel, because I assumed Bethel University, the D3 hockey school up in Minnesota. I'm now realizing there's another Bethel, and this is, you know, a roller hockey powerhouse, and they're in Tennessee. Like, what?
I think there's more than two Bethel universities, actually. I think there's like five. This one is in McKenzie, Tennessee. They're definitely a powerhouse. They've been a top three team forever. They are the only other school outside of Lindenwood that offers scholarships, like all the way up to a full ride, and definitely a heavily sought after school for upcoming players. And yeah, we're really excited to continue to play them forever.
On the club side of things, it sounds like there's NCAA hockey, right? So if you're an ACHA team on campus, like, you're kind of viewed as club. Is that a little different with roller hockey? Because like, this, if you want to play college roller hockey, this is the league. Or Aiden, is it more like what you were saying, where like, people are like, wait, we have a roller hockey team?
That's usually what it is. Even when I was at Lindenwood, which is a program that's been around for 25 years, there was still a ton of like, wait, we have a roller hockey team? What the heck is that? Like, we're obviously going to have that for an extremely long time. I think the biggest difference, yes, there's NCAA ice, there's D1 and D3. There's ACHA, D1, 2, and 3, and AAU and all that stuff. The biggest difference with us, absolutely no shade whatsoever at ACHA programs or AAU programs. There's a ton of amazing ones doing insane things, like that outdoor game with NC State and UNC with 40,000. That was unbelievable. And it's going to be 20 years before roller hockey gets there. But I think the big advantage that college roller has is the guys that play in the top programs at D1, we go play professionally all the time. It's a direct avenue. There's, you know, full salaried professional leagues in Europe. The Division I guys go and play after they graduate. It's a very common thing to go do. It's what he did before he actually came to college. You know, I think that's one advantage a college roller has. So if you're a guy that, you know, wants to play after college, you want to play some professional wheel, it's perfect for guys that have just graduated, played college roller, and want to play a little bit extra in front of a bunch of fans for a few years. And most of our players get offers every year, and we have a really young team. Last year, we only had one graduate. This year, I was the only graduate. I mean, this kid, I think, is still technically a freshman after 2 years. We've got a young team, and they're going to be around for a while before we start pushing guys over there. But the offers are there, and the opportunities there.
We've talked a lot about GCU and the culture you guys have built there. If somebody's listening to this and wants to play, you know, collegiate roller hockey, what are some of the steps that they should take? Maybe, you know, places they should look, you know, where should they contact GCU if they wanted to play?
If you want to come to GCU, best thing you can do is fill out our program interest form on our Instagram at Lopes Roller. I might be changing that to GCU_roller. But as far as college roller in general goes, the first thing is, if you're in college, go to the ncrha.org, see if you already have a team. You know, we have 70 teams nationwide. So if you're at a big school, chances are you might already have a program going. If you don't have a program going, you can either do what I did and start your own. What a lot of schools do actually is they go after a lot of ice kids that get cut, and then they start a program as like Division III and kind of work their way up over the years. If you don't want to start your own program and you're, you know what, this interview was amazing and I want to play collegiate roller hockey, this sounds amazing, and I want to transfer, you know, go look at the schools that have what you're looking for, whether you're looking for a school with 80% women and 5 pools and 2 jacuzzis and a Division I national championship, you know, you obviously know where to go. If you're looking for a bunch of scholarship money and looking to kind of buckle down and do it that route, Lindenwood, Bethel, you know, you could look for like Florida Gulf Coast as a program, and they've got a beautiful area. Like, there's schools all over the place, so there's a lot of different avenues to take.
Lastly, we completely skimmed over it. If we're talking ACHA, we're talking roller hockey, we got to talk about the game you guys do at the end of the season every year against the ACHA team. I got to know, like, what's that atmosphere like? It seems like there's a decent amount of, you know, students that go and watch. Is there chirping going on in that game? Is there mutual respect to club programs at kind of the top of your respective divisions?
The first season, the first year, we had 155 people at the game. It was pretty rowdy, actually. It was awesome. We had people standing up on top of the parking garage behind the rink, like cheering and hoopering and hollering. And it was a great atmosphere. I think that the ice guys have a hard time getting over the fact that we play roller all day, every day. We're supposed to win, you know what I mean? And they have a hard time figuring that out. And we would like to play the ice side of the game. Like, the idea is to play a roller game in an ice game, but we only had 10 skaters. So like, we can't play an ice game. And of the 10 skaters, half of them have never played ice before. I think we have like two guys with gear. So it's going to be a while before we get to do that side of it. And it ends up evening out. But yeah, there's a lot of chirping in this last game. I scored a goal from pretty high up on the rink, like maybe 10 feet above the top of the circles. I had one kid scream at me like, yeah, like that's going to work at Nationals. And then I ended up doing it at Nationals. So it's a lot of chirping, but it's fun. And like,
It's all in fun.
And sure. I hope they continue to agree to do it. I mean, it's our only game on campus all year because the rink is not the greatest and we're not going to be playing real games on that. We have a home rink that's 20 minutes from campus that we play our real games at. It's a blast. And honestly, like the preparation for it, the marketing of it is really where the fun comes in. We skate around on campus with our jerseys, passing out tickets that we made in the library, giving out all these deals and talking to girls and getting people to come in. And it's a blast.
Well, it looks like a good time. And, you know, they had a really good season as well. I think one of the best in program history. They got to go to Nationals. They were on quite the run in the second semester. So it was good to see you guys come together and have a little fun there. But Aiden, I got to let you plug one more thing before we go, because you have your own clothing line that's roller hockey related, right?
I do. Yes. So I started a clothing brand in 2021 called Good Roller. It's goodroller.com. I started it because there was no roller hockey lifestyle brand out there that you could buy from at any time. Like there's a couple that bring shirts to tournaments and, but you can't do anything online. So I'm actually in the middle of a revamp at the moment, kind of redoing how I do a lot of the clothing and putting a lot more effort into the designs. And now that I've graduated, I actually have the time to be able to really focus on it. So at this point, our GCU championship line is going to be up in like a day. So, well, if this goes out on Friday, it should be up by then. And our first real relaunch clothing line will be up in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you guys so much for joining, providing tons of insights on collegiate roller hockey. And, you know, hopefully you inspire a couple more teams. You know, I think these teams might think it's a little easier said than done looking at you guys putting together a championship team in 2 years.
Yeah, for anyone who's thinking about starting their own program, you absolutely should do it. 100%. I've definitely shaved 10 years off of my life in terms of stress. I think I actually had my first gray hair about halfway through this first season, and it freaked me out a little bit. I think I took on just a lot of different hats. I mean, I was a player, a captain, a manager, travel director, a fundraiser. Like I did damn near everything. And I mean, I obviously had a lot of help this year with a lot of the parents and guys, but like, you know, especially if you're starting at the D3 or D2 level, like off the hop, and it's a blast. And Nationals is like one of the greatest experiences you'll have. And roller and as a whole just has so much to offer. I mean, the NCRHA sends, you know, a national or an all-star team to South America every year now to represent the college league and play against national teams like Team Argentina, Team Colombia, Team Brazil, Uruguay, Chile, places like that, Ecuador this past year. So it's really just an amazing time and you should definitely consider it.
Awesome. Well, hey, Aiden, Bryden, thank you so much for joining us. We had a great time and can't wait to see where GCU roller hockey goes next.
Me too.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. It was a blast.
Thank you so much. It's very much an honor to be a part of this pod and kind of project ourselves into the ice world.